The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Hi, I'm Hugh Hewitt. Thank you for listening to the Town Hall Review podcast, where we bring you the best voices on the stories and issues that matter. Our podcast is brought to you through partnership with the Pepperdine Graduate School of Public Policy and ADF, the Alliance Defending Freedom. Here's a piece I hope you enjoy from my cigar-smoking friend, Dennis Prager.
We're about to have, I believe, Nigel Farage, member of the European Parliament from England, from the UK, British politician, broadcaster. What is happening in England now is if you want to be scared, and I don't believe in scares as a general rule, if you want to be scared, however, there is reason to be scared about the next British election, about the mishandling of Brexit. The British people voted. They voted to leave the EU, the European Union, because they wanted to actually maintain their independence. The left has utter contempt for nationalism, as you now see. Remember, only a leftist can think it is profound. Only the New York Times can think that Macron, the president of France, saying nationalism is terrible, it's brought us great evil, but patriotism is beautiful. There is no difference that I understand between patriotism and nationalism. People have tried to explain that to me. It's nonsense. But the belief in nonsense is very deep. All right, we have him on the line here. And he was a guest at the Prig University Gala, and it was just a wonderful evening. So, Nigel, welcome back to my life.
Thank you, Dennis, very much indeed.
Okay, my friend, there are two big issues here. Theodore Dalrymple, the British psychiatrist, wrote a devastating piece on what might happen if Labour wins. That I was stunned. The language used by the Labour Party leaders is the same language the Soviets used to justify communism. And Dalrymple is not a flamethrower. You know, he's a medical doctor who writes about life. Is that accurate?
Well, here we've got in Jeremy Corbyn, the Labour leader, and his sidekick, the Shadow Chancellor, John McDonnell. These are by far the most left-wing figures we've ever seen leading the British Labour Party. And they are absolutely committed to a form of government that literally uses Marxist language. Indeed, John McDonnell, at the dispatch box in the House of Commons a couple of years ago, when he responded to the budget, actually produced Mao's Little Red Book. I think this is extraordinary. These people are way left, very dangerous. What has come with them has been a wave of anti-Semitism right throughout the Labour Party that is deeply unpleasant and quite extraordinary that we should be seeing it, you know, in Europe 75 years after the Holocaust. And I'm very concerned what they would do to our society, very worried what they would do to our economy. Yes, it's a very, very worrying prospect. And yet, there are some quite large swathes of our youth that suddenly find socialism very attractive. And I think the reason is they've never actually lived under it. I have, Dennis. I lived here during the 1970s when the top income rate tax was 83% on earned income and 98% on unearned income. I've lived under hard left socialism, and that's the reason Mrs. Thatcher got in as a reaction to it. But these people are way to the left of the 70s socialism that I grew up under.
You cited John McDonnell, who would be Chancellor of the Exchequer, which is second in command in Britain. This is from Dalrymple. Only 5 years ago, He said that the historical figures he most admired were Marx, Lenin, and Trotsky. Did you know that?
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, McDonnell is an absolutely committed Marxist. Corbyn is a leftist, hard leftist, doesn't self-identify as a Marxist. But, I mean, normally, you know, you call people Marxists and you do it as a pejorative term in debate. McDonnell self-identifies as one. And the problem we've got is that in the face of such extremism, despite the fact many of the young find some of these ideas attractive at the moment, the real problem we've got is, of course, this Conservative government is being led through the Brexit process by Theresa May so ineptly and so badly that they are beginning to open the door for this form of Marxism.
All right, let's talk about the Conservative Party. Look, I don't live in the UK. From the distance that I live, your assessment seems perfectly apt. Why does the Conservative Party choose inept leaders?
It seems very good at doing so, doesn't it? I guess because, like most political parties, it has different wings and it seeks a compromise candidate. But it also, Dennis, and this may sound a bit cynical, but it also seeks a candidate that gets a bit of support from mainstream media and, crucially, from many of the big global businesses. And that is why you have this bizarre situation where a conservative vote in the country is on the centre-right, and yet leader after leader comes from the centre-left.
Exactly. So I should not have used the word inept. I should use the word non-conservative. The Conservative Party does not produce conservative leaders.
That is absolutely wholly accurate, and I think that Cameron certainly represented more a form of social democracy. And Mrs. May, you know, she seems to be obsessed with minority rights. I'm not arguing minorities shouldn't have rights, but she seems to be obsessed with, you know, various different group interests. But worst of all, you know, what she's done is on the table before us right now. We have a withdrawal agreement from the European Union that basically represents nothing more than Brexit in name only. And, you know, it's not determined yet. It hasn't passed through the House of Commons, and I believe that it will fail. But at the moment, there are millions of Conservatives in this country who are saying, we are so disgusted with what Mrs. May has done, we will not vote Conservative. And if you say to them, well, what about the prospect of a Marxist getting in? They just say, I don't care. And that's because if you betray people's trust, it's very difficult just to point at the other guy and say he's a bad one and expect people to go on supporting. So, quite honestly, we are at a moment here in British politics of very, very real crisis. Brexit, which in many ways I was the father of that whole movement, Brexit was something that the public voted for, but our political class simply can't accept. So we are going through very, very turbulent times.
You certainly are, and obviously it will spread from Britain elsewhere, certainly into the English-speaking world. Anyway, I'm sure the New York Times looks at a Corbyn victory with great relish. We have the same thing here, except we have more conservatism in the United States. But I want my listeners to understand the conservative leader did not support the vote of Britain on Brexit.
No. I mean, this is again, you know, I talked about compromises earlier. I talked about big business support. I talked about mainstream media support. And it is a bizarre thing that Theresa May back remained in the referendum and yet still became Prime Minister. I mean, it's a script you couldn't even write. And here we are, 2.5 years on, where she, despite the fact she's made promise after promise after promise, including at a general election, that she's now breaking. And very important for Americans to understand this. We didn't just vote for Brexit once. We voted Brexit in 2016. We then, in 2017, had a general election in which both the major parties promised, put us in government and we will deliver Brexit. And now that promise is being broken in everything but name.
Okay, can you stay on with me?
Sure.
Okay. I'm speaking with Nigel Farage. He is, as he described, it's true, he is the father of Brexit in the UK, of the removal of Britain from the European Union. What is happening in Britain today borders on the unbelievable. These are, in all but words, communists. And in the case of Corbyn, the added bonus of anti-Semite. And they may come to power. I'm going to ask him more about that. You're listening to The Dennis Prager Show, 1-8-PRAGER-776.
The Dennis Prager Show.
Wars we fight, griping about the way things ought to be.
All right, everybody, Dennis Prager here. I'm speaking with Nigel Farage, the father of Brexit, of the British leaving, the British exit. That's what it's short for, Brexit, British exit from the EU. Why did the Conservative Party nominate a Remainer in Britain? Those who wanted to remain in the EU were called Remainers. They had a choice to follow the people's will or not follow the people's will, obviously divide the Conservative Party. Why do you think they did that? I'm not hearing Nigel.
Dennis, sorry. Yeah, well, it was the most bizarre situation where the leading leavers within the Conservative Party didn't manage to unite around a single candidate, and powerful media organizations made this argument. They said that what Theresa May would do, even though she was a Remainer, she was what was described as a stock Remainer. She hadn't campaigned very hard for it. And the argument that got made through some of the powerful media titles was that she would be able not just to deliver Brexit, but to bring unity to the country. And this is the argument that succeeded. And many of the big businesses thought this was a terribly good idea too. And the Conservative MPs bought into the idea. And what we can now see, 2.5 years on, is that in fact, this was a giant deception. She got elected saying, look, I may have been a Remainer, but I now understand the reason for Brexit. And I, as Prime Minister, will carry out the will of the people. And basically, she got trust by saying those things. I don't want to sound like a conspiracy theorist, but I think what is now becoming clear is that right from...
Sounds like we lost the connection. Okay, all right, we'll get him back. He's, I assume, speaking to us from Britain. Folks, it's an astonishing thing that's happening in the UK. I want to ask him, does it even matter to most Brits that the man is an anti-Semite? You know how rare it is for me to call somebody an anti-Semite? It's almost never. Almost never. I'm the one who's, this doesn't represent anti-Semitism. We have to use the word very carefully. But in his case, it's just clear. And among other things, I'm wondering how the Jewish vote is, because the Jews in England are generally as liberal/left as they are in the United States. So I'd be very curious, will even that awaken them? Out of the Jewish vote in Britain doesn't really matter, to the best of my knowledge, but I would be curious in that light, too. Theodore Dalrymple's article, I think it is up at DennisPrager.com. If it is not, it certainly should be. It's an incredible piece about what has happened in Britain and what is happening, how left these people are. Here, this is John McDonnell, the second in command. He's the one who said that he most admires Marx, Lenin, and Trotsky. people responsible for the death of more people than almost anyone in history. All right, Nigel, we're back with you, and we were talking
Hello.
About the... Yeah, hi. All right, we're back. That's fine. Are you in the UK right now?
Yes, I am in the UK.
Okay.
And it's, I have to say, a very, very fractious place at the moment.
So is the United States.
Yeah, but you were talking again there about McDonnell and Corbyn. I mean, try this for size. Jeremy Corbyn, just a few years ago, went to a wreath-laying cemetery at a Palestinian martyrs' cemetery. All right? And one of the wreaths that was laid on a grave of one of the people who abducted, tortured, and then murdered those Israeli athletes at the Olympics in Germany in 1972. I mean, it is almost beyond my belief that a man that gives active and open support to terrorist organizations could be our next prime minister.
So when we were getting back to your line, getting you back on the air, I was mentioning that I would ask you, so I'm going to ask you, does the almost universal in the sense that anybody but a Corbyn supporter recognizes that he is an anti-Semite, that he has no problem with Palestinian and other Islamic terrorists, how does the average Brit react to that?
Well, the average Brit, I think, as they began to understand this more, we saw, or we had seen, Pete Corbyn. You know, we'd seen this leader who suddenly looked very popular, and the more the truth gets out, the more Middle England, if I can call it that, says, this is horrible, this is absolutely repellent. And it seemed that any chance of Corbyn getting into the premiership had gone. But now that Mrs. May has been seen to quite willfully deceive the nation over Brexit, there is a chance, if we stay on this track, that the Conservative vote simply collapses because people cannot bring themselves to vote for a prime minister who basically has betrayed them on Brexit. So it's that's put Corbyn back into contention.
Right.
But it still is, I think, extremely worrying, you know, that a man who refuses to sing the national anthem, that treats the United States of America as an enemy, cozies up to extreme Islamist and Palestinian terrorist organizations, it still worries me that he's as popular as he is.
So he can get in if enough conservative voters say, I don't like Mrs. May, and I think she's betrayed us, so I am not voting. That is what would put Corbyn in power.
Yes, absolutely. We would see our election turnout crash. Now, there is, you know, some hope that we are now getting voices in the Conservative Party saying that we've got to get rid of this Prime Minister. She's a complete and utter disaster. But we're not there yet. I would guess within, I'm going to say 3 weeks. We will know within 3 weeks what the future direction of Brexit is, or at least have a clearer idea. And I think we'll have a much better idea, too, within 3 weeks, whether she can hang on as Prime Minister. But at the moment, she's doing not just the Conservative Party, Dennis, but the genuine Conservative cause immeasurable harm.
All right. I have so many questions. Nigel Farage is a very courageous man, the father of Brexit from Britain.
Thanks for listening to the Town Hall Review. Your freedom is under attack, but if you act now, you can protect not only your family, but generations to come. Go to townhallreview.com, and to find out how you can join Alliance Defending Freedom to help ensure the opponents of freedom don't dictate your future. That's townhallreview.com. If you enjoy your podcast, take a moment, tell a friend to subscribe today.
3-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn. deliver the truth, whatever the cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, deliver the truth, whatever the cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.